Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland in today for Carl Gerke. And joining me on the phone is Paul Haig. He is the president and CEO of Haig Companies and recently gave a presentation called Five Reasons Sioux Falls Entrepreneurs Need to Expand to the Bakken Today. Paul Haig joins us now on the phone. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about your speech and what are your ideas?
Well, you know, I think the premise behind it all is to let people know something kind of what we discovered was there's an abundance of opportunity in western North Dakota, and you know, people within the state of South Dakota can take advantage of that. This is an opportunity that I don't think, you know, most of us will see in our lifetime. It's kind of pioneering, if you will. It's an opportunity to be a part of, you know, what we describe as an emerging market and being able to put a footprint into an area that, you know, will not be like it was before. You can go up and have an impact in a marketplace that is going to change dramatically in the years to come.
And is this designed for a specific type of entrepreneur, or is the sky the limit? You think of it, it can happen.
Sky is the limit.
Okay.
As long as you have, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit and you are willing to, you know, commit the time and the effort to go there, you can make it happen. But you know, the emphasis being willing to commit the time and effort. You're not going to, have an impact or make an effect without, like we call it, putting boots on the ground.
And you're talking inventing things when you say entrepreneur, or are you thinking, or is there a different definition?
No, it's taking whatever your service or trade or discipline is that you, you know, maybe do here or you've had an idea of, and going up and, you know, implementing that strategy into the marketplace, because they need everything up there. When you see population growth of, and it's projected into the foreseeable future, at 11.5% increase in population on an annual basis, that is hard to keep up with. We experience, typically speaking around here, we experience a 2 to 3% increase on an annualized basis, and that's manageable. When you start to get to 4 to 5%, it becomes, a little bit more challenging from a community perspective, and how do you manage the infrastructure, and how do you manage the different aspects of development. And when you put 11.5% increase into an area, it's staggering what that can do. And so that's where that, you know, opportunity exists, because they truly need everything in that marketplace.
And have you gone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We've been up there for just about 2 years now. We have employees in market that live there. We have employees that and staff that go up there on a weekly basis because it's challenging, but the market becomes pretty small if you're willing to spend the time there. When I say small, it means you get to know who the players are and who the people are, and figure out what they need, and go in and implement your strategy, and most likely you're going to be successful.
What are the top three things that they need most there?
I think predominantly housing is, and that's what we're focused on, is providing housing. With that 11.5% increase, you just can't keep up with supply. To give you an example, there is about 0.6 housing units per job available in the marketplace. So that means that there's, obviously fewer housing units than there are people filling jobs. And that includes all temporary housing solutions. So when we talk about temporary housing, that means it's, man camps or crew camps, which people have heard of or seen, hotels, motels that have gone up in the marketplace rapidly, and even, RV parks and literally people living out of their car. If you take out that temporary type of housing solution, there's a 0.3 housing units for every job that's out there. And on average, around the country where we live, it's, to give you an example, it's about 1.5 housing units for every job. So there's typically a little bit of an excess in housing than there are people filling jobs. Up there, it's the exact opposite. So, housing being one of those, and as rooftops come come along, so do the people, and then it's all the kind of personal services, retail, restaurants, even laundry. I've heard of stories where people are having their things laundered, but it's being done in Bismarck, and these people are in Williston. So someone's coming up and picking up their laundry and driving it back to Bismarck, which I think is well over 100 miles away. I'm not entirely sure the distance, but things of that nature are happening. So and then it's they're going to need attorneys and accountants and the like as well to service that influx of population.
And what about northwestern South Dakota? Does development need to happen there as well?
I think that is yet to come. When you look at western North Dakota and kind of the epicenter of where all this drilling activity is happening, which is kind of in that Williston, Watford City, or Williams and McKenzie County concentration, they are 99% success ratio of when they drill a well that they hit oil. And so when you're hitting that kind of success, the idea of that, the term wildcatting of going on an exploratory mission to find oil isn't necessarily as much of a focal point. But as that area infills, there is definitely a penetration of oil shale that goes into northwestern South Dakota. And, I think in time we'll start to see that happen in a little bit more of a, in more earnest. And then at that point, then I think development will start to happen in South Dakota as well. But it's going to be a few years.
I'm wondering, too, a lot of bedroom communities and commuting from South Dakota north is happening, and do we need to take advantage, I guess, of that right now?
Yeah, I think so. I've heard or seen reports of, people acquiring properties in the Black Hills, as an example, be it, weekend retreats or a place to maybe house family because, the living conditions are currently in the Bakken region of North Dakota are tough. So they're locating family close, and it's something that they can, commute to on a weekly basis. And, I even read in the paper the other day that there's some conversation within Rapid City to create a direct flight from Rapid City to Williston.
Sure.
So all those things are going to kind of help bridge that gap and provide some, economic impact to the, the communities on the western side of the state.
And your message to entrepreneurs on the eastern side of South Dakota, was that well received?
I think it was. I think people all, everyone knows about the Bakken or have heard about the Bakken in some capacity, but I don't think that they understand, what it takes to get the job done. And, number one, if they haven't visited the area, that's the first thing you got to do, because you got to understand the magnitude and the opportunity. You got to see it to believe it. And then secondly, like I said at the very beginning, is, put your plan in place and be willing to spend the time and effort in market to make it work. Because even though it is a land of infinite opportunity, it doesn't preclude you from, implementing the fundamentals of business and the blocking and tackling that we do every day, no matter where we are, still has to be done in that region.
And you need to be seen to make it happen.
You do, and you need to establish relationships. I think what I've sensed is with the community leaders and the people that are currently in the market doing things, they've seen too many people fly in, make all sorts of big promises, leave the next day and never return. Hmm. So they're a little callous to, people coming in and talking a big story until they actually see that you've, established yourself, put some roots in the ground, and that you're there on a regular basis. Then they'll take you seriously and they'll embrace you. But until that time, they're probably not going to give you much time of day.